We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It was, and they're
Thank
tough.
You, Jason.
But Jason, man, good stuff.
Have a good
always.
One, man. Happy holidays.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays. Sorry, guys.
Sounds good.
Happy holidays, man. Jason Apati doing a great job on the Sprint Right Pod, Niners Nation, man. He's tapped in with the 49ers. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HG1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game for the best and most up-to-date sports coverage. And do not forget that you can also watch this every single day on our YouTube and Twitch streams. Just log out to search 95.7 The Game. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel while you're there. Aiden Hutchinson, NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. Jason just mentioned that Bosa was named Defensive Player of the Month.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Wow, he got the Defensive Player of the Month.
That's pretty impressive.
I like that. I'm shocked with Parsons having multiple sacks on Thanksgiving. That is surprising to me.
Bosa has been dominant, man.
I know he has.
And it's not just the sack
numbers.
It's the
fourth quarter, too.
Yeah, like that Chargers game, even though he only racked up one sack, those last three, four possessions in that Chargers game, pushing the pocket and just dominating. I mean, just literally dominating, said, Chargers are not going to score again. No. You're not scoring. And they didn't score in the second half. Heck, the last four teams the Niners have played haven't scored in the second half. So these are the games that I think your premier players have to dominate. Tua's not the most elusive guy.
He can move a small. Little. He can move a little.
His footwork is really good. But you can get to this guy.
Yeah, well, people have been throwing him around. That's been the big problem for him because he's smaller. It's been very difficult for him to not take huge blows and bounces off the turf. The thing with Bosa is interesting because I was thinking about this. Like, I don't know, some people don't put a lot of stock into it, but I'm sure the players do when it comes to Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, et cetera. These opportunities, you think you're going to be battling for them every year, and then things happen. Guys have unbelievable outlier years. Like, think about Steph Curry, Bonte. He has the two MVPs. He's kind of lucky that he's got the two. You don't know what happens. Like, LeBron could do something crazy in one year. Or, you know, you get a Russell Westbrook type of a year that coincides with you having a great year. And for whatever reason, the narrative is bigger for someone else. So to put yourself in this position, that's difficult. To actually walk away with a Defensive Player of the Year, I think it's harder than people think it is, man. It's really hard to get these individual awards.
I mean, there's so many good players
out
there.
Saying.
And, like, we haven't even considered linebackers. Like, Fred Warner Jr. is playing out of his mind right now.
Playing a monster brand of
corners
football.
Don't even get the love they deserve, right?
No.
Diggs is playing well. You got Sauce Gardner as a rookie playing well. Yeah. You got Tarvarius Ward in our own backyard playing some really, really good football. So it does feel like the DPOY and the MVP, we've solely focused on pass rushers.
Yes.
And quarterbacks.
Well, think about it. Dana Stubblefield won a Defensive Player of the Year. How rare is a D-tackle who's not getting, you know, 15-plus sacks? I think he had 10 or whatever that year. But, like,
he may have had more. He had, like, remember he had four in a Monday night game against, was it Philadelphia or Washington?
I think it was Washington on Monday night. And then Washington ended up signing him after that.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I mean, so, like, it's very, very rare is what I'm getting at for other positions outside of basically edge rushers getting it. I think occasionally you'll get a safety get it because they'll get a lot of interceptions.
Deion got one.
Yeah, Deion did get one. Well, he had a lot of interceptions that year. You know, it's the sexy number. So I think it's very difficult to put yourself in these positions.
So Stephon Gilmore won in 2019.
He had a monster year.
Before that, T.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Stephon Gilmore, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, Luke Kuechly, who stole one from Navarro Bowman, J.J. Watt, Terrell Suggs, Troy Polamalu, and Charles Woodson, back-to-back, two DBs there. Bob Sanders won a DPOY with the Colts. Can you believe that? Ed Reed 1 year. Yeah, Strahan, Sat, Reggie White.
Bonte, we've got some sad news to report right now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Gaylord Perry passed away, San Francisco Giants legend.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, wow. Very sad. I there's no, you know, non-sensitive way to break that news, but that's really, really sad. I mean, I know he was up there in age, and I mean, one of the great families of baseball. Obviously, has a statue down at Oracle. I mean, just played for a zillion teams, but was a 10-year Giant on the Wall of Fame. That's, man, that stinks.
That does stink. When you go to Oracle Park, when you grow up a Giants fan, one of the first names you remember is Gaylord Perry.
I know.
And we never even saw a play.
No. Larger than life hero.
Right.
You know, him and the Negroes are who I think of from that era. Obviously, Juan Marichal as well. Man, that stinks.
That does stink.
Well,
Gaylord Perry, born in 1938, passes away at the age of 84 years old. Made his major league debut in April 14th of 1962. A five-time All-Star, two-time Cy Young Award winner, a course of baseball Hall of Famer. Led the league in wins in 1970, 72, and 78. No hitters in 68. And his number 36 is retired at Oracle Park. He's on the Giants Wall of Fame. He's on the Cleveland Guardians Wall of Fame. An excellent, excellent pitcher for many, many years. So, rest in peace to Gaylord Perry, Giants legend, man.
Yeah, he absolutely a Giants legend. And, you know, we were thinking about those, with the Willie Mays doc, how great those 1960s Giants were.
Right.
He's a part of that.
No doubt.
Right? And I think that a lot of those guys have gotten forgotten because only one team would end up representing the National League at that time. They didn't have wild cards and they didn't have multiple divisions. It was just you win the pennant, you go to the World Series. And so, yeah, I think he's been one of the forgotten, you know, larger-than-life heroes for Giants baseball. For people like my dad's age, those are his guys.
Right. Rest in peace, man.
Wow,
rest
that stinks.
Gaylord Perry, that does stink. What's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, No Compromises, and the Golden State Warriors. We have Darrell Wright at 8 o'clock to talk a little Dubs. We'll continue to roll on the 49ers, the keys of this week, and some more Shanahan sound. Mike McDaniel's coming back to town. Now head coach of the Miami Dolphins. I gotta say, Shasky, it is cool having the Dolphins relevant again. I'll explain why on the other side here on The Roast.
Career. It's your boy Guru from Steiny and Guru, noon to 3, right here on 95.7 The Game. Now back to the Morning Roast, my favorite show. Just leave me alone, please.
We'll try.
Little Mac Mall?
I'm not mad at that.
Dude, he had so many hitters.
I'm not mad at that.
Ray Love, actually.
Is this Ray Love? I thought this was also with Mac Mall.
First time I ever got a Ray Love tape. He was passing out tapes at the East-West Shrine Game.
Oh.
At Stanford Stadium, the old Stanford Stadium with the track on it.
Really?
Yeah. Palo Alto. Got a Ray Love tape. He was passing out tapes.
I remember my boy, Matty Murphy. I'm sure he's out there somewhere listening right now. 11-5 used to hand out tapes right in front of Sacred Heart. And so he had one of them. Yeah.
Get out tapes to the Lord. It's my kids.
Smart move.
That's a great
business move.
Great business move.
Yeah.
Bumping it quick. Oh, 11-5 in the house.
I will say the abbreviated version, but one of my favorite songs of all time, I've Got Women. To Buy Me Clothes. It's one of the great all-time San Francisco songs. That album, 11-5, yeah. So good. You used to be able to see Rap Forte at Round Table Pizza on Van Ness, too.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I used to go there and had the little buffet, the lunch buffet.
The Round Table buffet was next level.
The pan pizza, the personal pan pizza. Yes. You go get you a salad, and you get you a soda, and you chill out for about $10.
Yep.
By the way, they built a new Round Table like 2 minutes away from me.
Oh, yeah? Did you check it out? Little Parmesan knots or whatever they're called, garlic knots?
Not yet.
A lot of carbs, but I love it.
Not yet. By the way, high school football, the championships are wrapping up. By the way, SI lost to Bellarmine. A lot of by the ways. SI lost to Bellarmine, so shout out to SI on a great season. Sarah versus St. John Bosco.
Really?
Yeah, Sarah
High
School.
That's a great matchup.
That's a great matchup, Sarah High School. Let's go, Sarah.
Let's go, Padres.
Mr. Green. Omari Green, he coaches San Mateo. His son plays for Sarah. Won the Utility Player of the Year in the WCAL. Plays a little running back.
Oh, wow.
Plays a little corner. Good kid, man. Good kid. And they're all juniors on that Sarah team. So hopefully they could beat St. John Bosco, who just beat Mater Dei to get to this point.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, that is incredible. They were playing at the Rose Bowl, dude. It was like, damn. Look at this.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
They're playing at the Rose Bowl. I was like, man, is this college football or is this high school? I mean, come on. De La Salle versus Folsom up there in Folsom.
Oh, nice. Folsom's always there.
Yeah, Folsom's always there. So yeah. St. John Bosco is number one in the nation. It's going to be a tough game for Sarah. When they got the horses. They could do it, man. Coach P. Peralta down there. Darius Bell coaches. He coaches. He's the offensive coordinator.
Another Reardon legend.
Yeah, he's the offensive coordinator down there. Darius Bell, man. Nice. My guy D. Bell was a good quarterback.
Was it him
city.
And Cannon at the same time?
Yes. Yeah. And then they went over to City College in San Francisco.
They were very good.
Very good. Cannon. I thought Cannon was going to the NFL. Cannon was sick.
Well, him and Henderson, they were all coming out around the same time. Yep. Cannon was a good
basketball player, too.
Yeah, there were a lot of talented players coming out of the city at that time.
All right, let's get back into the 49ers.
So you were talking about the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, and we're going to get to the Niners defense in just a second to react to what Michael Irvin had to say yesterday with Damon Arado. But is it the league better? Like, there's certain teams that when they're good, the league is just better. Like, when the Packers are good, I can't stand them. But the league is better.
Yeah, Steelers.
Steelers, Cowboys, Niners, Bills.
Raiders,
no doubt.
Bills, yes, it's more fun with the Bills.
Chiefs.
I guess.
Yeah, you can admit that. Yeah.
I guess.
Bears, maybe.
I mean, I didn't, just real quick on the Chiefs. No one was, opining for Trent Green and Tony Gonzalez.
Priest Holmes.
Alex Smith, Matt Castle. Exactly. No one cared until Mahomes came Mahomes. To the scene.
No, we cared about Priest Holmes. We cared about Eddie Kinnison.
Like, when the Cowboys are good, it matters.
Hey, we cared about Jamal Charles score 5 touchdowns at the Oakland Coliseum.
Then tearing his ACL. Too mean.
But when I go back and I think about great teams from yesteryear, yes, the Miami Dolphins were always an impact team. And they were a team I thought had fantastic uniforms.
Legacy team.
And yeah, and had a lot of legacy in the NFL. Absolutely.
The 70s, the Super Bowl championships. They were always good in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Even though they didn't win, they were really good. In the 90s, they were still good. They were still a perennial playoff team with Dan Marino and Don Shula. And they've kind of gone downhill. They've had a slew of different coaches. Saban leaving on them to Alabama really hurt that franchise, I believe.
Bonte, since Dan Marino retired, the high water mark essentially is them running the Wildcat and...
What, Ronnie Brown and Tony Sperano?
And they had that one decent playoff run where they...
Chad Pennington.
Exactly. Yep.
Comeback player of the year.
Marshall, thank you.
Tony Sperano, they ran up the score against the Patriots that game, too, with the Wildcat. They thought they invented some... Nah, I don't blame them at all.
But that's really
been good. Yeah, that's it. That's been it. They had Jay Feeler for a second who was
Tannehill, I think, made a playoff and they lost right away.
Yeah.
I think Matt Moore started that game, too.
He started one against Pittsburgh. That's right.
And then he took a big shot.
He got concussed and he still played. Yeah.
The old Chase Daniels.
Boy.
Yeah, you bring in Matt Moore, he'll hold money and hold a clipboard.
So the Dolphins are back, and I think the league is better. And they're going to face a good defense here in the 49ers. I don't know if they're a great defense yet. But Michael Irvin was discussing the defense yesterday with Damon Arado. And here's what he had to say about this Niners defense. Yeah, oh my God. This is one to raise my eyebrow.
It's a very rare streak. And when you start doing things like that, we start talking about, is this defense comparable to some of the greatest defenses we've seen in the history of our game? You start talking about that. You start talking about those Bears defense, you know, those Chicago Bears, those defense, that Ray Lewis-led Ravens defense that dominated people, you know what I'm saying? That's what San Francisco's doing right now defensively, and this is a great match. Stopping the Saints and the Dolphins and all that, okay, you know, that's one thing. Stopping these Dolphins is going to be a whole nother show, and I can't wait. I'm talking about I can't wait. This is a great week. We got Cincy in Kansas City playing. We got the Dolphins in 49ers playing. Those are going to be two of the hottest, greatest games of the week.
Michael Irvin sounded very composed there discussing the Niners defense.
We throw these things around like, could they be like the 85 Bears? Can they be like the Bucks and the Ravens and teams like that? There's been a lot of great teams that have had great runs with great defenses. Like, I think of the 80s New York Giants as an example. Bonte, that's one of the most feared defenses of all time. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes 85 Bears. I'll take like three or four different versions of the New York Giants right up there with those 85 Bears. Not to take anything away from the 85 Bears, but like
Carl Banks, Lawrence Taylor, Pepper Johnson.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, Harry Carson.
Leonard Marshall.
I mean, come on. Those dudes were loaded.
Yeah, they had ballers, okay? And so
even those Washington teams had some great defenses.
Yes, absolutely. Charles Mann, Daryl Green. Yeah, but
Mr. Manley.
But that's my point is I don't think they need to be like one of the, you know, the Steel Curtain, you know, have the nickname and be all that. But in their era, they are developing because of Bosa, because of Warner, and now you add in Hufanga. You've got a nice nucleus here where you can have a five-year run, hopefully, as a defense. Do people outside of the Bay Area talk about the Patrick Willis-led defenses that way?
I don't think they do. I don't think they do because they didn't win. They didn't get the ring. Like, I'm looking at this list, right? Lubman has all these numbers, right?
Yes.
And the fewest points per game allowed in NFL history since 1978, the first 16-game season. Man, I had no idea the 2000 Tennessee Titans were on this list.
Really?
They allowed 11.9 points per game. Javon Kurse, Blaine Bishop, Samari Walker at corner, maybe? Or Samari Roll, I want to say?
That might have been later, but yes.
Nobody remembers that defense.
No.
78 Steelers, Steel Curtain. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you have, you know, Ed Tuttle Jones, but you have Mijo Green, excuse me, and Lambert. You had so many great players on those teams. Yes.
85 Bears, 86 Bears, 2002 Bucks. Really good defense.
Which is one of my, I think, underrated all timers.
I think they're a top three.
Simeon Rice, Hardy Nickerson.
Every level they had.
Derek Brooks.
Every level they had a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, John Lynch, Barber.
Rondi Barber, Steve Borderline Hall of Famer. They were good. So, where does this defense rank historically? I don't think they're quite there yet. We discussed the strength of schedule. They haven't played that team yet.
That's the one team
they played, they gave up a 40 burger to the Kansas City Chiefs. You want to be a dominant defense. You want to get mentioned with the likes of those Baltimore Ravens in 02 and the 2000 Bucks, or excuse me, the 02 Bucks, the 2000 Ravens, the 85 Bears. You got to go out there and win big games like this. And you got to go out there and shut them down. Like, the Dolphins can't score 10 points. You want to be considered a great defense? It can't be one of those 27-24 games where Tua throws for 280. You know what I mean?
Well, that's as you're, you know, rattling off all these great teams from the 80s. That's why I feared the New York Giants so much. They always seemed to stymie Bill Walsh's offenses. Yep. They were always very, very low scoring, tight ball games till the very end. Like, go all the way till the NFC Championship game of 1990. From like 83 all the way through, it felt like Belichick and Tuna had Bill Walsh's number. And even if the Niners did win, it was on a last second field goal, touchdown. And it was like a 10-10 game, 3-7 game, 3-0 game. Like, it were always tight games, no?
Yeah, no. It's funny, because I did a deep dive on that a couple years ago on those Giants and Niners games.
They had their number.
I think it was maybe around the 30-for-30 with the Bill and Bill.
Okay.
Bill Parcells with Bill Belichick. And, you know, they discussed in that documentary, like, you know, we kind of, once we figured out the 49ers, it was difficult for them to score on us. We were physical. And in the Moneyball, or not the Moneyball book, the Blindside book, they discuss how Bill Walsh used to bring out his center used to pull the block Lawrence Taylor on the edge. And once Parcells and Belichick figured that out, they say, we're just going to blitz the zero gap. We're going to blitz right up the middle. So if they try that pulling center to take out Lawrence Taylor, well, we got heat coming up the middle for him. Now you adjust to that. Now you got to go one-on-one with Lawrence Taylor on the edge there. But you're right in that sense that those games, and like, they were pounding the 49ers. There was a couple games, 49-3. Mm-hmm. They held the Niners to 3 points. They couldn't do anything with the New York
Giants.
The
Monday night game where it was like a
7-3.
Yeah, it was one of the most famous games of all time.
Right, 7-3. And then, of course, they lost the NFC Championship game 15-13. You know? So you think about all these games here. Here it is right here. So the Niners lost a Monday night game in 91 to the Giants, 16-14. They lost the NFC Championship, 15-13. They won 7-3. All right, they won a Monday night game against the Giants, 34-24. But then the last second, Jerry Rice Hail Mary, 20-17. That's right, for those Niners team, 20-17. Then they got a Monday night win when they dropped 41 on the Giants, but then 49-3, 21-17, 17-3, 21-10. They really had a way to slow down those defenses, and those were great, great defenses. Can this defense be that? Can they be that? Can they suffocate a team like this? This is the week to do it. Like Michael Irvin said, I completely agree. It's one thing to do it against Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
It's one thing to do it against Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
Right? Colt McCoy. It's one thing to do it against a banged up Rams team. Can you do it against the Dolphins and this high-flying offense? And can you do it next week against Brady?
Well, who's the best passing attack that they face thus far this year?
Kansas City.
It's Mahomes. They failed that test.
They got 44 dropped.
Whatever. We can make excuses for the cornerbacks being hurt and guys out. And they failed that test, right? I think most people would say that. What's the second best passing attack that they face this year?
Is it the Rams? Is it the Cardinals? Chargers? But the Chargers are down two guys.
I was even thinking about Seattle early in the season, but I don't know.
We didn't even believe in Seattle at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know. And really, like, okay, let's go back to that Rams game. I know it's been weeks and weeks removed. Cooper Kupp was killing them in the first half.
Yeah, he was.
He was killing them. Now, they made adjustments, and they took that away from them, and that was really all they had. This feels...
Falcons, maybe. Falcons put up a lot.
You know what? Falcons is a good call. Yeah. Falcons is a good call.
Pitts was healthy then.
Yeah. Yeah, Drake Niners made some plays.
Niners were missing what, seven guys?
Well, and Mariota, I don't think had a perfect clean play sheet until the very end. We had to throw one away.
They missed like seven dudes in that game. The Niners defense, so you kind of throw that one out.
I think this is the stiffest test outside of Kansas City.
Outside of Kansas City,
I think this is the stiffest test. And so you're going to get Waddle and you're going to get Hill, two elite wide receivers who everyone has in fantasy. You're going to get Tua, who's just more mobile than a lot of the guys that you face. I don't think he's in the same mobility category as a Kyler, but I think he's mobile enough to give you fits, which is what you struggle against. This feels like a true good litmus test. And then a running game, Jeff Wilson Jr.
And Raheem Mostert's going to be back this week.
In the right system, they can do things.
Hey, Mostert's going to be back this week after all the talks he had in that article with Tyler, who was it, Tyler Dune or Tyler Dunn? And he walked those comments back saying, hey, I'm not trying to throw any shade at Jimmy. I went to his brother's wedding.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're all good. My wife loves his brother's wife and all that. We're all best friends, blah, blah, blah. But they're averaging 25.6 points a game, six in a week. They're high-flying offense. You look at what they've done recently, 30 points against the Texans. They scored 30 in the first half. Texas.
Yeah, they took it off cruise control.
But to beat up on the Browns the way they did.
Yeah,
they dropped 39 on them. They dropped 35 on the Bears, and that was before the Bears started trading everybody. The Lions, of course, the Lions don't have a lot of defense there. We'll see. But this is the game. If you want to be considered a great, great defense, because I don't even know if it's a great, great defense in the Niners in franchise history with the 49ers. I'm not even ready to put them in the top five yet.
I don't know.
We've had some great defenses in San Francisco, the last Super Bowl championship defense.
It just feels like the teams that they face, like if I'm just going through the list and I don't want to I'm not diluting their wins. I'm just asking myself, don't we all kind of know now with some clarity, Denver's offense is broken.
Done.
Right? Seattle's good. I still believe Seattle's got a good offense. And we'll see a better version of Kenneth Walker now because
we didn't see him in week two.
No. And I think that changes their team. Like New Orleans, they're not dynamic.
No.
Arizona, without Kyler Murray, they lose a little bit of their dynamic nature.
Carolina.
Even though we thought Carolina's garbage. I mean, let's just call it what it is. So that's what I'm saying. So I think this is a true stiff test. And we know Tyreek Hill kills the 49ers.
No doubt.
Bring up third down, and most Niner fans start to get sad.
What's the play call? Wasp.
I don't even care what the play call is.
Wasp. Play calls Wasp or something like that.
You know, but no, this feels like a legitimate test, and I'm excited, and I'm here for it. And I want to see what the 49ers pass rush can do, because I think the key to this game is getting pressure with 4B so that you don't have to send that extra rusher in, and you could drop guys in coverage and take away the middle of the field. They want to throw intermediately and down the field. They don't really like to take the check down.
Jet. Chip Wasp is a name play call. Third and 15 in Super Bowl 54. Jet Chip Wasp. Third and 15. I've never, sitting right here in the green room, sitting on the edge, was like, get the stop. The this game is over.
Yeah, they're winning the Super Bowl. Quan Alexander dropped an interception plays before that.
And he dropped back and dropped that dime, and I said, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I still just Tyreek apexing that ball. It just it hurts. And Tua, you know, I find this one interesting because you haven't even brought this up. I don't think anyone's really brought this up. As we look at Tua, it's hard for me as a Niner fan not to think about the trade. You know, part of why Miami is in the position that they're in is that they have a quarterback on a rookie scale. And now they were tanking for Tua. Remember that? That was a thing. They ended up not getting the number one pick that year. They fall down. They probably didn't even draft the right quarterback. Herbert went after Tua. Most people think that they should, and I'm sure it was some true serum, they believe right. they should have taken Herbert instead of Tua.
Right.
But like when you have the rookie on the suppressed contract, you are going to splurge in other areas. They then trade their pick to the 49ers, and then yeah. they use that pick to arm them with enough ammunition to draft Waddle, to right. bring in Tyreek Hill, to add to their defensive front and bring in Bradley Chubb. So I'm thinking about, hey, they've got their quarterback on a rookie deal, and look what they've built around them. Meanwhile, our quarterback, who we traded with Miami for,
is hurt.
With a snapped ankle. But we've got Jimmy Garoppolo. It's interesting. Like the team building, I guess, contrast between the two. It's just a fascinating matchup this weekend.
Of course, McDaniels being on the other side of that now. Now he's in Miami after those deals, after those picks, after those trades. And they look like they came out like bandits right now. I do want to get to Tua in just a second. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Is this even a top five defense in 49ers history? I'm not even sure. Because I'll take the first 2 years of Harbaugh. Those defenses.
Uh-huh. Are you taking this over 2019?
I'm not taking this defense over 2019. 2019 was special.
I know.
2019 was really, really good.
No,
you didn't have to blitz at all.
You're incredible.
You didn't have to blitz. The last Super Bowl run, I'm not taking it. The 84 Niners that won the Super Bowl, maybe the greatest team of all time, that lost one game all season long, 94. Shut down Dan Marino. We saw talking about Dan Marino. Even when they won their fourth championship and beat the Broncos 55-10, that defense was no joke.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Pro Bowler Eric Wright and Ronnie Lott. And yeah, you had
Matt
studs.
Millen in the middle.
Yeah, you had studs.
Keenan Turner was
Michael
still there.
Carter.
Yeah, dude. I don't even know if this is a top five defense in 49ers franchise history. Not yet.
I do think that this defense is really good considering I'm looking around the league. It's never been easier to throw the ball. It's never been easier to score touchdowns. It's never been harder to play defense. And I do think that the way that this defense is set up, they bend, they don't break. They right. will give up yards, but they won't give up touchdowns.
Right.
I do think that their cornerback play, I think not about the interceptions, but on ball, turning and locating and finding the ball, I actually think this secondary is better than 2019 secondary. But I think that the front for 2019 right. was better than this year's front in terms of stuffing the yeah. run and getting after the quarterback.
Yeah,
I thought that
you.
Highly of Armstead, Buckner, and D4.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't know. Greatest defense of all time. I think it's a bit premature to start talking about this defense being the best ever. I mean, that Ravens defense in 2000.
Sharper.
Jamie Sharper, Peter Ballwear.
Look,
Sam Adams, Tony Siragusa, Ray Lewis. I mean, yeah, Ray Woodson, Rod Woodson.
Rod Woodson, yes.
I mean,
Chris McAllister.
Chris McAllister, Patrick Sertan. Yeah. Not Pat, Dwayne Starks on the other side.
Starks.
Come on, man. Come on.
I know, that team was so good.
This
and then they drafted Ed Reed later, which is crazy.
This is insane.
I know.
The 0-2 Bucks. Come on. Greatest defense.
But I do think that you're looking, and it's hard to say now, you're looking at what I hope to believe, a 10-year starter at safety in Hufanga. You're looking at a 10-year middle linebacker who's in the middle of his career right now. Fred Warner's throwing himself. He's throwing his name as one of the great linebackers of all time in 49er history.
No doubt he is.
And I think Nick Bosa's already thrown his name in the ring for one of the great pass rushers. Now, there's been some great Niner pass rushers.
Great.
I mean, he's not even Alden yet. Like, let's be honest.
Charles Haley.
He's great, but he's not even Alden yet.
Dwayne Bort, who they honored Sunday at the game. I knew you liked that right before
Bryant
the game.
Young.
He was the honorary captain,
loved
Dwayne
it.
Bort.
I loved that.
Yeah, that
come
was
on.
Pretty cool.
No, but there's been some great ones. And then, obviously, you know, even some great defensive linemen. Leo the Lion, Don Mellini, and Charlie Krueger. There have been some
Lion.
Great ones.
You love Leo the Lion.
Well, when you're a pro wrestler in the offseason and you're a USF guy, I'm going to root for you.
I want to get to Tua Tagovailoa, though, because it's kind of like Jimmy Garoppolo. The way I felt about Tua is how I felt about Jimmy. Now I fell off of Tua. Now I'm looking at Tua Ball, and I watched his presser yesterday. I'm like, damn, that's why I fell in love with Tua.
Remember that year? Who wanted Tua?
What's weird?
That was me. I was like, get Tua. Fall to me with the hip injury. Oh, that was the 2020 year.
I was out on Tua after that. I was on Tua when he came into that Georgia game.
I remember.
And he threw that spiral. You I was like, oh, my God, that was the perfect, that's the sickest spiral I've ever seen thrown.
The injury did.
The injury
really
did him in that year in Alabama.
Yeah.
And then I saw him at Levi's, and I got to see him up close and personal, and I was like, man, all right, my guy Tua, let's go. And he just looked small.
Yeah.
He didn't look quick. The way he threw didn't have any velocity on the football. I was like, anyway, here's what Shanahan had to say about Tua Tagovailoa.
They have so much speed that they blow the top off stuff, which gets some people open underneath. Tua's, to me, the reason that they're leading the league in explosives, because he knows how to hit people over the middle. It's not always, it's rarely deep. It's usually running and hitting these guys on the move, and there's some really open space with all that speed, and then the quarterback who can drop it over linebackers, who's not worried about safeties, and is doing that part of his game as high as anyone I've seen right now.
So they added weapons around Tua to really maximize who Tua is, which the same thing that happened at Alabama. When he was at Alabama, he's throwing to Jerry Jeudy. He's throwing to Jalen Waddle. He's throwing to Devontae Smith. He's throwing to Henry Ruggs. Those are four wide receivers. I mean, that's crying out loud.
And then throwing screens to Najee.
Yeah, throwing screens to Najee and Damian Harris. Is
Josh Jacobs there for 1 year?
Josh Jacobs was there as well.
I mean,
this guy was throwing two studs. All NFL players.
So many players.
So it's not even. But the Dolphins, they're like, look, we have Tua.
Yeah.
We can't move off him right now. We don't like the quarterback class with Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and you know, and Trevor Lawrence, and we know we can't get the number one pick, so let's stick with Tua. Let's build around him and make him the trade for Tyreek Hill. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs haven't fallen off, and I didn't think Miami. I said, okay, Tyreek Hill, that's fun. How's he going to get the ball?
I didn't think he'd be this version of himself.
No.
I thought we were going to see a decline. Didn't you?
Absolutely. But Tua, as long as he's been healthy, has balled out. He's thrown for a lot of yards this year, 25-64. He's 8-1 this season. 19 touchdown passes, 3 picks. So he hasn't turned the ball over.
Yeah, those are great numbers.
I mean, those are great numbers. Now, Jimmy has thrown 16 touchdown passes, only 4 picks. Like, Jimmy has been no slouch, believe it or not.
Now, this has been one of his most efficient passing seasons in terms of the raw data.
Right. But Tua, against this defense, so if you want to be a great defense, shut this guy down.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Shut
there.
This offense down.
Well, they need to suffocate that offensive line. I mean, this is where Nick Bosa, to your point, you got to have a big-time week. The other thing is, I'm asking out loud, I think Buffalo's got some pretty damn good linebackers in Edmonds. Who else have they played that have great linebackers? Is that going to change it? Because we talk about the DBs a lot. Can they take away the middle of the field? You know, like Fred Warner is great in pass coverage.
And Dre Greenlaw, too.
Right? Can they take away the middle of the field where they really want to throw the ball? I don't know. I think this is a great matchup on a variety of levels for this team. And then I look at, like, Gibson has yet to get picked on as a safety.
And I'm going to get tested deep this week.
D'Amador Lenore has yet to really get tested opposite Moore. I got a feeling this is the week we're going to see maybe some deep throws in his direction.
Now, if they do shut down the Dolphins and they go out there and score 10 points and you sack Tua Tagovailoa 4 times.
Now we have a conversation.
Now we have a conversation about, okay,
yeah,
now they're becoming a great defense. But you got to get turnovers, too. That's the other thing with these great defenses. Tampa Bay, they were good for a touchdown a game.
Yeah.
We remember that defense was either pick six, fumble recoveries, sack fumbles, setting up your offense at the 5-yard line. The same thing with the 2019 defense with the 49ers. Sack fumbles, pick sixes, put you short fields.
Fred Warner against the Rams, week 16, pick six before halftime.
When's the last defensive touchdown for the team? Was it Monday Night Football against the Rams?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think it was Monday Night Football against the Rams, right?
Was that week 4, 5?
So, yeah, I it's a little premature, but, you know, Jason Aponte, who joined us at 7 o'clock, he discussed, he's looking at the matchup between the Niners offense and the Dolphins defense, and nobody's talked about this. Dolphins defense is blitzing like 40% of the time. They're blitzing 40 to 45% of the time. That's all they do. And that's why they went out to make the deal for Bradley Chubb, because they're like, look, we got to get some pass rush without blitzing. We're getting burnt on blitzes. By the way, Lubman with the delivery of the day with the coffee. We all need the coffee.
Special delivery.
Special delivery. G-Dep, what's happening?
Special delivery.
And the intro was like a minute long.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Was that Bad Boy?
He was just talking. That was Bad Boy. Yeah, G-Dep. Special delivery.
That's his only song.
With my wrist all glittery. Yeah, that was his only song.
One hit wonder?
One hit wonder.
Like Walt Harris for the 49ers?
One hit wonder. One hit wonder. So this all fits. A lot of people were giving Dennis Allen credit for his defense, and I saw something yesterday where it's, you know, other offensive coordinators, opposing offensive coordinators, when they prepare for Dennis Allen, man, it's really tough. He's one of the toughest guys I ever prepare for. Okay, all right, that's fine. What about this Dolphins defense? Nobody's talking about them.
I don't even
want to see this. I want to see this Niners offense get back on track. But also, what if they don't have Chris McCaffrey?
Well, that's a big one for me. And I told you about the injuries going in out of the game on Monday. I was very concerned. Jimmy Garoppolo's mobility. You know, where is he at? Chubb already kind of had a field day against them in week two when they played him when he was on the Denver Broncos. So I'm fearful of him. And he was attacking McGlinchey. Remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
Randy Gregory, too. I think he went out in that game afterwards. They were hurting our offensive line. That was a game where we really struggled to move the ball. So I worry about him. And I worry about the mobility of Jimmy Garoppolo. And then if you take McCaffrey off the field, even if he can only play like a fraction of the snaps, what does that do for the confidence level of Jimmy Garoppolo? And then what does it do for the spacing of some of the other players out there? Do we get back into the more constipated offense where things feel much more predictable? I don't know.
How much do you look into McDaniels knowing this system and knowing this 49ers franchise? Does that mean anything to you?
Of course. I mean, he understands personnel. He understands tendencies. I think there's a lot to know about that. I mean, I always say, the greatest example of this feels like Gruden against the Raiders, right? So I always feel like when you have been with someone, if you have personnel that can compete, you should have an advantage on some of the tendencies and the schemes down in distance, things that people like to do. Because what you like to do is what you like to do.
Right.
You're not going to be running a variety of trick plays or a variety of new stuff. You're going to run variations of what you think works against certain personnel. And who would better know that than the guy who helped orchestrate the entire offense over the last 5-6 years.
So Mike McDaniel was asked yesterday at his press conference whether or not he talks to his players about his time in San Francisco. Here's what McDaniel had to say.
Maybe. I don't know. I think when I'm talking to the players generally, if I have an opinion on the football team that we're playing, I'm voicing the opinion while I'm showing the tape. You know, that's the bottom line. This is a bottom line business in terms of we are what that tape shows. So I think, you know, there's probably human nature, you know. They know that I have spent a good amount of time with a lot of those people on that team. But at the same time, that kind of is par for the course in this league.
Mike McDaniel.
Can I ask you a question about Mike McDaniel, B?
Please.
Did you judge a book by its cover?
Yes. Yes.
Do you feel foolish?
Absolutely.
Like
he's like 5'4".
I know. When we sized him up at training camp a couple years ago, I was like, there's no way this guy is a brilliant football mind. I can't believe it. And I'm guilty of this. Like, we all do this. First impressions are everything, right?
Right.
You size people up. You look at them. What are they wearing? How do they conduct themselves? Whatever. He looked like a total nerd on the sidelines, and he wasn't, like, passionate or anything. Just kind of, like, in his own thing. Got the big glasses, the big hat, wearing the Yeezys.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, he's a football coach?
He's the guy who's, like, the genius. He's the mastermind behind Shanahan's great offense.
No, I mean, I'm here for this. I'm guilty of this, and I have to recalibrate myself. I love that he's kicking butt right now in the NFL, because most people in their mind, they see a Dan Campbell, and I like Dan Campbell, but they see a Dan Campbell, that's a football coach.
Right.
Right? That's what they think.
Right.
That's a football coach.
I was pulling so hard for about days.
Everyone was. He's like your uncle. You know?
Yes, he has no idea how to use a timeout.
He's like your freshman football coach.
He has no idea how to use a timeout.
No. We're going to run right through him.
But you know, Baldy was on this in training camp. The first time we talked to Baldy this week, and rumor has it, is Baldy may join us next Friday live in studio. Maybe. I hear he may be doing Bucks Niners.
Oh,
maybe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But Baldy back in August.
I needed that.
Back in August, discussed McDaniel and how elite he was. He said, man, the way he manipulates defense with spacing and motions and the way he grinds tape. I thought, okay, Baldy's just being cool because he's, you know, he's part of the NFL fraternity.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's coach speak. He wasn't lying. He's got this team bought in, their formations, he manipulates defenses, and he commands the room. I watched that entire presser yesterday, 25 minutes. I was like, damn, that was different, and I'm here for it.
Don't we think that, like, in terms of the NFL landscape, it's the most macho of all the sports?
Right.
I love that the Brainiacs are taking over to a certain degree. Because here's the thing. Kyle Shanahan, Brainiac, like that's what we think, like deep into the X's and O's. What is his core philosophy as a coach? I'm going to run the ball down your throat. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we think, like, the Brainiacs want to throw the ball down. Now, McDaniels is throwing the ball all over the place, right? So he's bucking this particular trend. But, like, when I think of a Dan Campbell, in my mind, it's like, we're going to run the ball every single possession.
Yeah.
But yet, they throw the ball a lot. Right. Like, a lot. And then I think of Kyle Shanahan, and he's a really, really smart guy. He wants to run the ball down your throat. Like, that's his ethos. So I find it interesting that we do this comparative shopping on what people look like and what they're going to be as a coach. Because I do it. I think we all do it in every walk of life. And McDaniels, I just love that he's bucking the trends.
Well, here's before we get to Brent and Santa Rosa. Hang tight, Brent. We'll get to your call in just a second. Here's what Shanahan had to say about Mike McDaniel and how he made himself valuable with the 49ers.
Anytime you have a QC, those are the guys as a coordinator you depend on the most. You know, when you're a coordinator and the players come in, everyone goes to their offices and teaches the players. And then you go back in your room and you try to put a plan together. And there's not many people available that aren't in rooms coaching the tight ends or the line. And then you have a guy who's been breaking down the film all week, not just for his position, but for everything. So the QCs are the guys you rely on more as a coordinator because they're seeing the whole thing as much as they you can. They're not just preparing a position. And Mike was always in that type of role. You know, I think 2 years he coached receivers for me. But all the other time, I mean, he was a great position coach, but he was more valuable another way. I don't want a guy tied down to one position. That's kind of what happened to me when I brought Mike LaFleur here. I put him with receivers the first year. But then there's too many times I'm asking some stuff about the red zone and things on Thursday night, and they're in their world on what Bourne's doing or somebody. I'm like, man, I need you to help me in this area. So sometimes guys want to be position coaches fast, and I always say QC might be the best thing for you. And sometimes it's vice versa, but there's different paths to do stuff. And when you do stay in those roles longer, you do get to learn more. You don't just go right to a position and focus just on that position. So I think that's stuff that really benefited Mike, and that's why he was the one guy I was always communicating with so consistently over the years.
You know, one of the things that I look at a lot of the old school coaches. You look at their rise to how they became who they were. Like Tom Landry played on Vince Lombardi's, you know, was on his staff as a defensive coordinator, And like, then he ends up becoming a great defensive coordinator. But he was talking about
New York Giants,
He was talking about all the different positions that he held over the years at different spots. Belichick came up through the special teams rank. Why do you think he holds special teams in such high regard?
Special teams,
It's interesting to hear him talk about position coaches and how they get carried over into other duties. I mean, everybody can relate to that in their own jobs. I mean, think about Spadoni. Spadoni is one of the greatest technical producers we've ever had here at 95.7 The Game, running the board. He's also great on air. He's also hilarious. He's also great with making content and helping us produce the show on a daily basis.
Five-tool player.
Exactly. Very versatile. So to just say, oh, Joe Spadoni, he's a technical producer.
No,
he does way more than that.
The great Alexander Scott was like that.
Oh, my God.
Maybe a madman, but he was good at everything. Knew every little role.
I miss
every
that
little
guy.
Role. That's why, you know, coming up in the game, not to bring it about myself, but I tell a lot of young students, it's like, look, man, I did everything. I wrote articles. I covered a game. I was a technical producer. I ran games. I tried to talk on air. You know, do it all. Put your hand in every little cookie jar. That's what Mike McDaniel did with the 49ers.
You know what they say when you're getting hired, right?
What's that?
You know, the buzzwords. He has a can-do, team-first attitude. He can work really well individually in silos and in group projects.
He could adapt to any role.
He's self-motivated.
Right.
I just had somebody call me up. One of my friends was like, hey, can I use you as a reference? I'm like, absolutely. And I knew all the jargon to throw out there. We miss him. I would hire him in a heartbeat. He's a winner. Everything he does, he's self-motivated. I'm so good at those. We're going to present him an offer this afternoon.
The big line I use, I was like, man.
Cut me a portion of that.
Dude, I used this line one time. Hooked one of my boys up for a time. I was like, you know, he was the Tom Brady of our operation.
He was
the coach. I swear to God. Dude got the job. I think he's still working there. I'm not going to name names because I don't want him to get fired. But, you know, I was like, he's like Tom Brady. This guy did everything.
Now, have you ever
composed, poised?
Have you ever stuck your neck out for somebody who didn't deliver?
Oh, absolutely. It's the worst.
I'll go back to all the turkey cutlets on the floor, all over the sawdust.
I was a supervisor.
First day. They were like, this guy's not going to make it.
I was a supervisor at UPS, and my buddy Mike Gomez, got him in there. It's like, dude, you're going to be a supervisor. Just come on time for 30 days. and operations starts, like? And he's walking in, lollygagging, 45 minutes late, just
smelling
chilling.
Smelling like weed.
It's just like, Mike, dude, you're making me look bad, bro. Once then you get calls like, yo, your boy Gomez at it again. I love you, Gomez. But man, you made me look bad a couple times. Brent, real quick, and Santa Rosa. Brent, real quick, and Santa Rosa, dude, we'll get the injury report. And Darrell Wright. Brent, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, good, Brent.
Thanks for having me on, man. I listen to you guys every morning.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
Hey, Shasky, you brought up the 84 season a while ago. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that, and I went to a few games that year, and talk about a defense. I mean, this defense we have now is fantastic, but that defense there, I would liken it with the Chicago Bears of 85. They were that good. And it was fun. I went to like four games that year, and the one game that I went to was the only loss they had against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was there in the corner. I talked to Bryant Young down in the corner, and Eric Wright got called for an interference penalty, and the Steelers got the ball on the 1 yard line, and they won the game 20-17 on October 14th. And I was at that game. I'm thinking, oh my God! And they won out and won the Super Bowl that year. But talk about a good defense. That was one of the best I've ever seen.
Yep.
And I can't wait till this Sunday. I'll be sitting there in Levi Stadium this weekend.
Can't wait.
Watch that. So,
good call.
Hey, Brent, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the call. Please call us back, and thanks for listening, as always. It's going to be a fun game on Sunday. We'll get more into it at 8:30. Darrell Wright's coming up in 6 minutes to talk some dubs. A lot of positives coming out of that game against the Dallas Mavericks.
And Aaron Judge update, yeah, excuse me.
Yeah, within
the end of the week.
Yeah, within the end of the week.
Well, today's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. That's the end of the week. Weekend doesn't count as part of the week.
Aaron Judge is going to sign like during a Niners-Dolphins game, huh? He totally is. All right, injury report. A lot of dry snitching going on, huh, Shasky? A lot of dry snitching going on with our boys. Hey, you made us look bad with our references, damn it. It's okay to snitch 15 years later.
25.
All right. Things are bad. Whatever. You took a big smack out of that burrito. Look at you. You can't even talk right now. Gosh, I can't wait to dive into this thing. All right, things have taken an unfortunate turn with the health of Christian McCaffrey. CMC was not on the practice field yesterday and continues to deal with the irritation, according to Kyle Shanahan. His absence has now left his status for Sunday's game uncertain. On a positive note, Jimmy G was a full participant in practice, and he appears to show no lingering effects from that knee injury he sustained Sunday against the Saints. No knee brace. He moved around, bootlegged, all that stuff. So Jimmy, he's in. CMC, we have no idea, and that could be a problem against Miami Dolphins. On Sunday, the injury report brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game? Sponsored by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, No Compromises, the one and only D. Wright here on the Roast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.